Yes, you had a good eye.
Hey, we kind of have the same.
We got the same look going on.
Yeah, what the fuck? That's cool.
It's like, it's kind of like you saw me do it, and then you were like, I'm going to do it.
Nah, it's like I've done this before, and I knew it was going like to feel good.
Oh, you knew it would feel good?
Yeah.
Or you saw me, and then you're like, yo, what he's got going on.
All right, man, fuck it, yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, I got Ryan Garcia on the podcast, and this is crazy because you were probably one of the first podcasts I've ever done years and years and years ago. Like, yeah. Legit years ago. Like, how old are you now?
23.
I think this must have been you were 18.
18.
Before you blew up. On social media,
yeah.
Before you blew up, I mean, obviously you were boxing at the time, but before you like really started to take off. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things, like, I'll start this off, one of the things I find most interesting about you, at least at this point now, is that you did a really, really good job at, like, you have to be one of the first boxers in the history of boxing, like, it must have been the timeline and everything, but to really leverage social media.
Yeah, I would say so. I was the one that took advantage of what was, you know, out there. I mean, social media really does give you opportunity to reach so many people. And I did it in a time where no boxer was doing it. So I introduced right. boxing to social media, which paid off for me because it brought in endorsements and
yeah.
and eyes on me that I probably wouldn't have had. Or maybe I would have had. I don't know. You
right.
know, but because I am a great boxer anyways. But
right.
you know, it just so happened to be, and I was smart enough to see that it was going to be important. So I'm happy I made that decision because it's brought me a lot of freedom.
What made you think it was going to be important? Like, how did you, like, okay, when you were doing it, what made you think, okay, this is going to be a thing for my career?
Well, I just thought, like, a lot of people my age were, they were doing social media already.
Right.
And then... I mean, if you combine the two, you know that boxing is a business. So I said to myself, if more people know who I am, I'm going to have more leverage on whatever I want to do. And I can make better decisions because I have, like, when I'm saying freedom, I'm meaning promoters usually make you feel like you can't decide for yourself or what's best because they have all the control. They
like get you need them.
You need them. They yeah. got you on their networks. You know, you have no power, no say. But say I have power of the people, you know, right. everybody wants to watch me, so I could really do whatever I want and yeah. you can't really control me.
When did you realize that? Like, was it just because through social media? Because I remember the things that was making you viral in the beginning was how, like, you'd show the hand speed.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you're fast as fuck as a boxer, but are those the things that, like, when they started popping and you saw the engagement, were you like, oh, okay, I have this power? Because obviously it doesn't just happen. You just wake up one day with millions of followers, mm-hmm. but it started to build. Like, were there certain influencers or were there certain people that you saw along the way that you were like, oh, I can start doing shit like this, or if I can do videos in my lane like that, then I could see that success?
I noticed every time I attempted to try to do what everyone else was doing on social media, it never worked. So, like, you now, I tried you now. Shit didn't work. Like, nobody watched me.
You're talking about, like, the live stream stuff.
Yeah, ain't yeah. nobody watched me. But every time I just stayed true to myself and was authentic, you know, all my videos started blowing up. And, you know, I just paid attention to how I looked in the video. Like, yeah. if I look good, if the hand speed was fast in the video, and if the lighting was good. And
yeah. then when lighting's everything.
I combined all three of those, and, you know, it caught steam. And obviously, I'm no dummy. So if it's not broken, I'm not going to fix it. And
yeah,
it never broke.
Change it.
And the videos, I mean, still to this day, if I post a Cobra back video, it's going to do 4 million, 3 million views. Like, it's, yeah. just, it's just what people like to see. People don't see speed like that a lot. And you can't replicate it because it's just my talent.
Right.
You know? And
do you think, because I know there's people on the internet who, like, will argue, like, do you think it's easier though to, like, shoot content and video and stuff like that versus being an actual great boxer? Because, you know, people will say, like, oh, he looks good on here and there, but, like, is he a great boxer? Is different, because obviously that's just like a skill and it's a video, but.
Yeah, it's what it is. It's a I could do great mitt videos and I could also fight any great fighter. I just so happened to be both.
Yeah.
Now, if you can't distinguish the two, like, yeah, he's training and then there's a fight. If people can't distinguish that, I don't know what to tell them.
You know, it's funny. I think
it's
about,
like,
this.
Are you, I can't help idiotic people see things that how they should be seen. Like, it's
right.
just true. Like, this is a training video and I'm not going to fucking try to be perfect in technique because that's not what people want to see on the video. They want to see speed, power, explosion, coolness, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then in the fight, then that's when I'm going to work on strategy. You know, I could separate the two. People can't for some reason.
No, it's funny. I relate to this because, like, I post all the videos, like, lifting girls, all this dumb shit.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like people think, like, do I actually train like that?
Shit.
That's like... Like, not at all. He almost fucking YOLO'd the mic, dude.
I do this constantly.
So I'm clumsy. Like, people would be like, yo, you're fucking, like, you don't know how to train. Like, I'm not actually training. Like my actual training is not that, you know? Mm-hmm. That's just for, literally for the internet, because I think it looks cool, visually cool.
Right.
But, so, did you ever get a lot of hate from people on the internet, or just, like, people talking shit, like, in regards to the fact that you're popular on social, and then, like, you know... That you're obviously a great boxer, still fucking undefeated, right?
22-0.
So KOs. People are like gunning for you.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have people who think that? Because I've always had this question in relationship to boxing. Do they give boxers? This is like the dark side of boxing. Do they give boxers?
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. Do they give boxers easy fights or easier fights than they should when they see potential for like a massive bag? Because like. If you started losing, they're going to be like, okay, the bag value is less, right? Isn't that how it works?
I mean, I think it's all, they're very strategic. Some people overdo that, and then some people do it perfectly. Like me, I think I'm handling my career perfect. You know, I think I'm taking the right forwarding steps, and I'm growing. I'm only 23, you know, I'm maturing, and I'm fighting the fighters, you know. It's just leveling up. You know, you're leveling up the way you need to, but not. You don't want to go in and fight the champion and you only got 10 fights. Like, it just doesn't make sense. So, but some people overdo it. They have like 30 bums you're fighting. I want to say bums. I want to call people bums.
But no, I get it. Like, obviously.
But you get what I mean? Like,
you obviously a great fighter, and great fighters, it's not like they're not fighting people who don't know how to fight at all. That's not what I'm saying at all.
Exactly.
Like, boxing is still boxing. You can still go in there and get knocked out, period. But I'm just trying to understand, like, what have you and your camp done to pick, not necessarily pick the right fights, but like, how are you knowing where to go? Because I always find this so interesting, because I from my perspective on the outside is like, there's certain fights that people want to see you make, they want to see you take, and then you're not taking them now, but you're kind of like waiting for that right moment. Like, how are you deciding those moments?
What the fuck is that?
I think.
Sorry. Yo, my bad.
Yo, it was like ghost, right? No, I think it just comes to. If it makes sense, like at the time, does this make sense? Like, I know that this fight that I'm going to be having, hopefully, where I'm campaigning for, I'm trying to negotiate with this guy. His name is Isaac Pitbull Cruz. And he went 12 rounds with Gervonta Davis.
Okay.
And obviously, Gervonta Davis is the guy that everybody wants me to fight.
Yeah.
So they're going to they're comparing everything we do. When we fight, they're comparing, oh, but you didn't look here, but he didn't look here. So I think this fight makes a lot of sense for me because Kambosos and Haney, who are the champions, Kambosos is the only champion because I don't think Devin Haney won the championship, which he didn't. But – anyways, I think they're locked up.
I love this shit.
Because they're fighting. They're locked up. They're locked up. Gervonta's fighting Rollies.
Okay.
And we're the only one. Everybody wants to see this fight with this guy that gave Tank hell. Basically beat Tank. Basically, a lot of people would say that. But
he didn't, technically.
But he didn't, technically. And, yeah. And I think Tank won, but a lot of people are saying this guy.
So you're going to fight this guy?
Hopefully, if he accepts... the offers that are going to be.
He should accept it.
Why not? Like, we could throw a big old fight in stable or what, crypto.com.
Yeah, it's so funny you got to call it that.
What the fuck is that, man?
Crypto.com.
Yeah, no, so, stable center sound a little better. Just throwing that
over. It was so easy. Just roll off the tongue.
So
easier.
Easy, yeah.
So, is that fight in the future, though? Is there the Davis fight in the future?
1,000%. I think.
Because that's the fight I want to fucking see. I'm not going to lie.
If I was being completely transparent, I would say the fight would be summer of 2023. If I could give anybody, if it's like a movie, right, coming out.
Yeah.
That movie's coming out next year.
You think it's next year?
Yeah, because I think that, I don't know. Actually, I don't know for sure. I can't say, but I'm saying if I could really pinpoint it, like if I'm using my brain here, 2023, in summer. Summer of 2023, I think it would go down. And how do you be crazy?
How do you think that fight's going to go down? besides you thinking you're going to win, obviously, because I know
obviously I think I'm going to win. Obviously, you know, I don't want to break down too much because I don't want him to see his flaws. Just kind of want to.
Yeah,
know,
no, I get it.
I want to know. I know his flaws, but we're just going to look at the facts that he can't change. He's 5'4", 5'5".
Yeah.
I'm 5'10". He has to come in. He's not hard to hit, as we've seen him get hit in almost all his fights many times, and his face bruises up very easily. So if these guys that are not that skilled and don't have the timing I have can hit him, yeah, I know I could find a hit, and my hits hurt more than those guys. So to me, I knock him out within four rounds.
Four?
I mean, there's a high chance, probably a 90% chance I knock him out. Maybe more.
Betters, you listening?
Betters, okay. That's a good odds if you ask me.
90% on that.
90% I knock him out within. If you take,
you think a knockout for real, 100%? Because he's got a hard ass head.
Nah, knockout. Knockout.
Damn, knockout. I love it.
Yeah, he has explosion power. But to me, I just know with that fight, it'll be a lot easier than it looks like outside the ring. Like, people don't understand that because they're not fighters, so they don't know. But I could look past the illusion.
Yeah,
I know how it would be in the ring. My presence is too big for him. He's too small. I mean, there's no, and he's a great. He could, if he stayed down in the lower weight classes, yeah, he'll be a menace for everyone.
Yeah,
but not. There's no way he's gonna compete with an elite guy that's 5'10", strong,
taller, longer,
tall, long. Absolutely no chance.
Yeah,
absolutely no chance. So 90%, I knock him out. 100,000%, I beat him.
And yeah. I love it.
So you could bet on either money line or knockout.
Yeah.
You got pretty good odds on both.
I'm definitely going to bet on that
fight. And you know he's going to be the favorite because everybody's just delusional, but that's the time to make money is when. Yeah,
that's when you make
there's
money.
There's a underdog, which I don't mind being called, but I will sleep him.
Have you always been this confident throughout your whole career?
No. I think I recently got to a point where I'm just so confident in my abilities. Now I kind of truly know who I am.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very confident in myself as a man, as just the talent I have, that I know that any situation, I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So I'm very confident right now.
So as a boxer, but and also as just a human.
Yeah, just as a
human. All right, guys, quick interruption. We've got another sponsor. This is ShipStation. Now, shout out ShipStation because before you guys all know, Raw Gear right now, the clothing company, the apparel company, the lifestyle brand, it was called Being Fit Gear. And I use ShipStation for like the last, dude, I don't even know, 6 years. And it's one of the easiest platforms to use if you're looking to ship things efficiently, seamlessly. Now, this is not for like you trying to ship like, you know, stuff to like your homies or something. Like, this is for like e-commerce business. If you guys are interested in starting one, this is probably the easiest way to start. I encourage you guys to check it out. Go to ShipStation.com. Click on the microphone at the top and type in Raw Talk. Anyways, if you guys sign up right now with Raw Talk, go again, click the microphone at the top, type in Raw Talk, you guys get a free 60-day trial. So that's like 2 months of free shipping. Start your business off right. Because listen, I know how shit can get really fucking expensive, really fucking fast, especially when you're starting, especially when you're in the beginning. So again, go to ShipStation.com, go to the little microphone, type in Raw Talk, and get 60 days for free. Yeah, let's get back into this podcast. So let's talk about outside the ring then. I know you dealt with some mental health stuff recently.
Yeah.
And and you also had an injury.
Yeah.
It kind of got you out of the game a little bit.
I broke my wrist a little bit. No, I had major, some little ligament damage. Not major. I wouldn't say major. But
how long couldn't you use it?
I mean, look, if I'm being honest, I haven't been able to use my right hand fully for 3 years. So I fought Luke Campbell with one hand pretty much. I fought, you know, all these guys with a limited right hand, like nowhere near.
Even your last fight.
My last fight, my hand hadn't healed completely 100.
Yeah.
That's why a couple times you see me throw it a little weird. But I was like, man, I've been out of the ring so long, I got to just go and do it. And I did everything I can to make it feel better. And now it's really good. It's solid. So
yeah,
Everything's better. But yeah, I was dealing with that. But I also, you know, had a lot of mental health issues, but it really didn't have nothing to do with boxing. Like, that's what people don't realize. Like, people are like, oh, he's scared of fighting. Oh, what the fuck, I'm scared.
Well, yeah, I mean, you gotta understand,
people would say that though.
Their perception though is of you just as a boxer. That's how most people are gonna know you.
I know that, but if they could just use their brain a little bit.
I know.
I'm also a human being,
of course,
Golly, like you, I was, I people walk up to me, I see them as human being. I don't say, oh, you're a doctor, whatever you are, you know.
And
what
that's
mean?
It.
It's a, man, that's all you are. No, yeah. I'm gonna understand that you got feelings. You know, I'm just, all right, I'm supposed to be tough, but in a situation, I would may have been a little weak. You know, weak mind. And it's not even weak mind. I was going through an injury.
It's completely fucking normal.
Yeah, it's completely normal. And
dude, you're fucking young as fuck.
Like, I was figuring out a lot of shit, man.
Yeah.
I was figuring out a lot of stuff, a lot of stuff outside the ring that was causing me internally to just go haywire. And it was just a lot of things. I just couldn't get out of that, you know, smoking, just weird.
What do you think thing. Was the biggest thing that was fucking you up?
I think just stuff outside the ring, you know.
Like what though? If you're comfortable talking about it, I think it'd be beneficial.
Okay, well, I think drinking, you know, outside of the ring, the way I was, that's, and I have nothing against drinking. There's nothing wrong with drinking. It's just why you're doing it, and if you just abuse anything. And I wasn't an alcoholic. I'm not saying I was an alcoholic, but I was overdoing it, and I lost sight of who I am as a person. You know, I love God, and I love doing. Being an honest man and doing all the right things. Like I want, that's who I truly am at heart.
Right.
And I think that, you know, through this life and through a lot of stuff that was happening, all that got mixed up, you know what I mean? I lost sight of what, you know, what's my purpose. You know, I'm always thinking purpose and just everything I do is 100%. And I stopped, you know, I stopped caring the way I usually do.
Yeah,
and it kind of all just came down on me, especially after the Campbell fight. You know, I won. It's not like I lost. Right. I was on cloud nine. But one, reality checked me and God checked me. And I'm not going to speak for God, but it's what I'm thinking.
Right, of course.
Like, it felt like God checked me. Like, no, you got to fix some things.
Hey, so it was just in relationship to just fucking off and just drinking and like you could knowing no, you could be better?
It wasn't. I'm not going to say it's all on drinking. It's just on. It's just me growing up as a man. That's it. Like, I don't know. I think I had to go through this. It helped me mature and realize a lot of things.
Yeah.
I think I can't really go in depth on it, but.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I think it's significant, though. It's important because a lot of people, like I said, even me, they'll see you or people they see on the internet or celebrities, and they're like, this person is just this. Like, you're an actor or you're a boxer or you're a fitness influence, whatever they look at this person like. Mm-hmm. And, like, you are, like you said, just a fucking human. And not only that, you're a young man.
Yeah.
Like, growing, learning, like, dealing with pressure, so much of it at a super high level.
And I think that's what not people, out of people don't realize. Like, it's a lot of pressure on me. I mean, I've had pressure on me since I was, 18, 19 when I blew up. Every fight, it's like, it's almost like the Super Bowl. Like, they're all, like, even if I win every round and do everything I have to do, it's like, if it wasn't good enough, you're not good enough, you're shit, you know? And they make it feel like my whole life is collapsing, you know? Especially, or if you're losing steam, right? Say yeah, you're the hype ain't really there, but that's fine, because when a big fight happens, it will be there, but people will notice, like, say, it's not as hype right now. Oh, you're falling off, you're this, like, so people... They really want to bring a man with a dream down because they don't have no dreams and they don't know what that means, you know? And I definitely see it. But now I look at it like the truth, like, man, how miserable do you have to be to really try to notice everything that's happening in my life and just to be negative? And I say to myself, you know what? I'm young. I'm a millionaire. I'm doing the thing I love. You know what? You're miserable and I'm not. That's it. Yeah. Like, that's, I'm comfortable with that. You're miserable, I'm not, and I'm very comfortable. You stay, I don't know what to tell you. You're just miserable, but I'm not.
It's something that I've always been so curious about, because I've been in this game, the internet, not boxing, none of that shit. I haven't dealt with that sort of pressure, but being on the internet and, like, having to succeed or get views or get likes or appear a certain way, I know that it takes a fucking toll. It's a massive toll, and I do
think... It's not going to be easy.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy. It's not supposed to be easy, but I do think people have this perception, which is like...
They think it's easy.
Yeah, and then if you're not doing what they think you should be doing, like, it's a weird place, because for you to even have to sit there and say, you know, I'm this, I'm that.
I know, like, I don't want to, but crazy. Then sometimes you got to clap back at that. Like, do you really want this? Do you want to tell, okay, fuck you, I'm making a lot of money. What are you going to do now?
Yeah, and it's also like, it's also like, because the person that hates, it's like, where does that come from? I don't understand on the internet, like, this.
I'm nothing but love. It's weird.
Right.
And then it's weird because I represent or I try to at least, is like, yo, I care for everybody. I don't say no to pictures. Like, when I have the fans, I talk to them. I show nothing but love. I hug them. You know, I just give my heart out. And it's just so odd to me that they still find anything, you know, to really nitpick at.
I think it comes down to someone's own, like, purpose. Like you said, the thing that you have, that purpose, right? I think people are trying to find that in their lives. And it's easier for me to, like, shoot shots at you if I'm not in, you know, I'm not in your circumstances to... Mm-hmm. Almost, if I'm an outsider, to make myself feel better about my purpose or my situation, to be like, fuck that guy, he's not as good as he could be, because now my emphasis and my focus is on you and your life, mm-hmm. and not having to reflect and look inward towards my life, right? So that's what tends to happen. That's the truth. Yeah. But I think for you, it's important to understand, as like a young man, like, none of that's personal for you. And mm-hmm. But I wonder, did you ever take it personal?
Mm-hmm. I would say so. I've taken a lot of stuff personal. I think it's just... because I'm a sensitive guy.
Yeah.
Just who I am. I'm very sensitive. I'm very in tune to my feelings. So when somebody says something, I always question myself, like, why are they saying this? Like, and then I think to myself, like, does that make sense? Am I representing that? Like,
you start to question it.
I question it, but in an honest way. If they're absolutely off, fuck you. Yeah. You know what I mean? But if I could see something, I might take it as constructive criticism and apply it to my life. Sometimes I read the bad comments. I'm like, yeah, I should probably fix that. All right.
You know what I mean? No, I do it too. But it's like
almost, but I'm just a fair person. Like, I'm not going to be a dictator, but I'm also not going to let you run over me. Like, it's kind of, I just see it how it is. If it makes sense, then all right, man, you got that.
It's a balance.
You could have said it in a better way, but I get it. You know what I mean? So
it's all about the balance.
Yeah.
So how do you balance being a father?
That's great. You know,
because this is one of the craziest things. Because
a dad is awesome. I'm still learning. I don't say I'm not a master at it, but I know that my girls love me when they see me and we have the best time. And, you know, I think it's just teaching them when they get older. Obviously, they're babies right now. They're not like they're not aware.
Yeah.
But just showing them what a good man is and being a good role model and telling them how a man should treat them and giving them all the knowledge that you have so you could try to structure their life better than it was for you.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to provide the best life for them and give them my whole heart and everything and my time, all my efforts is going to be towards building a better life for them so that they have a great head start and they have a great headspace, like emotionally, physically, financially, everything. Like everything matters. And my life is just, it's different now because I have that responsibility. It's a priority. It's a different love. Like, no matter how hard it is, like, you go and do what you got to do for them. Like, fuck that. Like, that's your baby girl.
A different motivation.
It's a different because you have no choice.
Yeah.
No choice. But it's awesome because you want to do it. It's like the love you have for your, when you look at it, it's almost like you, but it's not you.
Right.
But, you know, you love yourself, right? Like.
Yeah, of course.
And then it's like, you see them, it's like, man, they're looking up to you.
It's a part of you.
It's a part of you and they're looking up to you and they call you dad. Like, you. You don't know that feeling until once they say dad, right? And then they're really conscious. Like, my daughter Riley, she's 3. She says, daddy, like, I want to do this. And I'm like, what? I want to go here. I want to go to Target. I want to go get Play-Doh. I'm like, and then you can't say no because it's like, that was the cutest thing ever.
Yeah.
Let's go get some Play-Doh for the millionth time.
Yeah.
Let's go watch whatever show, Cocomelon or whatever she watches. 1,000 times.
Does it ever get hard to balance, like, the training and the being the father?
I just say to myself, get what you got to get done because it's going to help them in the long run. So if it takes a while and I don't see them, then I'm like, I got to get this done. Like, I just have to. Like, just priorities. Like, I got to get this done. I got to handle this. And then, you know.
Do you have family and stuff helping you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
And how was your upbringing, your childhood? Like, did you grow up, like, was it all fancy? Was it all nice? Like,
no. My upbringing, I lived the first 3 years, 4 years, 5 years of my life in Rancho Cucamonga, which was good, but I don't remember any of it. But as I got older, when I was growing up, where I was raised was Victorville, California.
Yeah, I remember.
Obviously, small town. You know, I was from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Middle of nowhere.
Yeah, middle of nowhere. And then I was in this town. It's called Adelanto, which is pretty much the ghetto of a ghetto place. So, you know, it was a tough, but it you know, when you're in there, you don't think it's tough. Like,
right. It's normal.
Like, it's normal. Like, for a time being, I was living, we were living in a little house with maybe one room, maybe, and five kids.
Holy fuck.
So that ain't too fun.
Holy shit.
But my dad built he built kind of like a shed, and then he hung up the bag. And then he had me training. So no matter what, we found a way. Yeah. Like that, and that really taught me, like, whatever I'm in, I'm not scared. I'm going to find what works at that.
You're going to find a way.
Like, whatever hand I'm dealt, this is why I love poker. But whatever
I love poker.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Whatever hand I'm dealt, I don't care what it is. I just play it the best way it could be played.
Yeah.
And that's how I see life. Whatever hand I'm dealt at the time, whether it's aces or jack two offsuit, and only poker players know what I mean. Mm. I'm going to play it the best way I could possibly play it. If I got a fold, I'm a fold.
Yeah.
But don't worry, the battle ain't over.
Yeah.
Just wait till I get another hand.
I admire that, though.
Yeah.
Who taught you that?
Myself, man. Just living. And I honestly would credit a lot of my knowledge, just blessed God, what God gave me, you know? Yeah. And just really trying to find the answers. You just got to try. Like, don't let life pass you by. Really ask the questions. I ask questions all the time in my mind.
Yeah,
I'm very curious. I think that's what it has to do. Like, I'm just a curious person.
Me too.
Fuck, I ask life, everything. Man. Like, why does that look good? Why doesn't that look good? Yeah, it's missing something. Like, I just always ask questions until I find it right. Then I'm like, that's fire.
Yeah. So your dad got you into boxing.
My uncle Sergio.
Okay.
He seen me. He always said that.
Because how do you know? How do you know someone's gonna be good at boxing?
I'm gonna tell you a story. Yeah. So my uncle, he said, because they grew up and they were playing a bunch of different sports, which none of it worked because we're Mexican and we are not good in any sports other than boxing and soccer.
Really good. Really good.
We're really good in boxing and soccer, right? Or football. Football.
Yeah.
Right? Sorry, I just don't want anybody to come at me.
It's all good.
But so he was saying, like, we need to be, because he tried boxing later on. He was really good, but it was too late. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was already older, but he was great. He was winning national. He won a national, I think, or made it to the national. He made it to the national. He was like, man, this is crazy. Like, so many people are here. Like, he was amazed by how far he was able to go in such a short time. So what he said to himself was, somewhere down in our lineage, there's going to be a fighter. So anytime there was a boy born, he would always look at him and say, not it, not working, dang, doesn't have it. And he said, when I was born, he knew. He was like,
no way.
That's his word.
From birth.
That's his words, man.
What the fuck?
Yeah, and he knew. So, and then when I was playing baseball, I asked him, man, I need a sport one-on-one. And he's like, you know which one it is. You know, it's boxing. And then I was like, all right, I'll try it.
At what age was this?
Seven.
Okay.
Seven, six. End of six, start of seven.
Yeah.
And he took me into the garage and placed the mitts in front of me. And once I heard that sound, it was like destiny started. I was like, all right, it's time to go.
When did you start to realize you were really good at it?
When everybody would stop and watch me. When everybody, like, my whole life, everybody would just stop and just watch what I'm doing. Like, I don't know how to explain that. Like, I would hit the mitts and the whole gym would stop and be like, fuck, like, who is this?
Because the speed, the sound,
everything. Like, I just started noticing that it wasn't normal, because I would watch other kids and nobody would care. Like, and I'm sorry to say that, but that's just how it is.
No, I get it. Yeah.
Like, everybody would just, Ryan's sparring, it's all watch. Oh, Ryan's this. And I'm like, it kind of just led into, like, I was supposed to be where I'm supposed to be. Like, you're going to be a great fighter, a superstar. Like, everybody just kind of would always tell me little things like that. Like,
yeah. Well, it's like when I first fucking met you back when you were 18, yeah. I was like, dude, you're going to blow up.
You said the same thing, and I'm like, there's a lot of good signs that are
pointing. Yeah, for like, damn sure.
This can't be a coincidence.
So what do you attribute it to, really?
To gifts of God that you're blessed with. I mean, everybody has their own gifts, and it's just how best you could use them. Or,
and realize it. You know,
but everybody's blessed with talents, but you also, like, you got to do the work.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just expect things to come to you. Like, it's not going to be easy. When I start running and things get a little hard, I'm like, this is the part. Like, this is what's going to separate me from everyone else, because most people would be like, it's a little too high. I got to go. Like, I'm done. Like, to me, it's like, once it get hard, I think to myself, finally, this is my time to separate myself. Like, yes, yeah. Like when I got dropped with Luke Campbell, most people would be like, I'm embarrassed. Like, to me, I said to myself, this is my time to be great. Like, this was going to separate me. I'm going to step to him. Like, I had in my mind, like, I'm stepping to him right now. Let's go. Like, I wasn't afraid of the moment because I knew I knew that's in me. And it's always going to be in me. Like, I'm ready to be great. Yeah, I want to be great. I'm intentionally trying to be great. Yeah. Some people say, oh, you don't, like, greatness is just, no, I'm intentionally trying to be great. I'm going to find a way to be great.
Yeah.
Find a way to beat everybody. If I got to fight you twice, three times, I'm going to beat your ass. I'm finding a way to beat your ass.
Yeah.
Like, just that's how I am.
Yeah, I remember after that fight, that was the thing. Everyone was like, yo, like, because you took shots and it came back. Everyone was like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
This kid's, that's when I think people were like, okay, this is, like, for real, for real. Not that you weren't for real prior.
They just never seen it.
Right.
And he was a gold medalist. Like, this guy's a gold medalist, a southpaw, rangy.
Yeah.
Had way more experience than me. I mean, I was just, that was a big fight. That wasn't a walk in. People don't know who that is because they don't.
No, it was a huge fight.
It's a huge fight. This dude's from the UK. You know, the Brits are smart. You know, those guys are sharp. And he had a great trainer with him, Shane McGuigan. And, you know, I was just hungry. Like, he even said it himself. He was like, man, I was looking in your eyes in the ring. I said to myself, no way I'm beating this guy.
Damn, he told
you
that?
He was like, there's an aura around you. I was like, I knew you were just, he was like, you were just something different.
Yeah.
He's like, I knew I wasn't beating you. Like, you were just on me. It was too much.
How do you think you get that? Like when do you think you started to have that? This is what I'm so curious in. Like, you know, in people in greats who've done all this stuff, I think you're like on that path to be one of those people.
I definitely feel that way too.
But like, what point are you like, you noticing that fire? Obviously, like you said, all the moments like for you to separate, you say, okay, this mile, this next 2 miles, I know it's super fucking hard, but this is what's going to separate me. But like, when did you really start to realize that and feel that?
I think it's a combination of you have to have everything. You have to have the speed, the power. I'm talking about it could apply to your sport or whatnot, but for me, it's like you have to have the speed, you have to have the power, you have to have the IQ, you have to have the look, you have to have the charm. You really have to have I think all that recipe, and then you drive in with insane work ethic and trying to find all the little details, all the edges you could find, and you mix it. It's like a recipe. You put all the ingredients in, you stir it up. It's just right. You're right spiritually. You have to be right spiritually. Everything has to be on point.
Yeah.
That's when everything comes and you're just glowing. There's something about you and you're just like, I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's when you take advantage of every ounce that you could possibly and you squeeze it as much as you can. And all of it just comes out all pretty and goo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, you got to be a weirdo. Like, you got to be a weirdo. You got to be obsessed. Like, everything matters. The way you look, the way you talk. Like, it's just everything matters.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Especially in the fight game.
In the fight game. For me, I'm talking about from a fighter's perspective. Yeah. I don't know. I don't really know much else. I'm just a fighter first. I've done this since I was 7 years old. Everything I relate to is like fighting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like momentum, building it up, seeing, you know, if that shot's working, I'm going to continue to do it. If that video is working, I'm going to continue to do it. For me, it's like boxing has so much perils to everything. Poker, shit. All right. This guy's a little weak. He's losing all his chips. Fucking get his ass. Like, put pressure on him. Like, make him lose all his shit.
It's funny how you relate boxing to everything else. And I feel like I can relate training to everything else.
You can.
Because it's the same sort of like overcoming, being able to get better through like figuring out like your weak points and adding all those pieces together.
Exactly. Being very honest with yourself. That's key. You got to be honest with yourself. Don't be like they say, don't believe in hype. Just really be honest. Like, yo, I could show you. I have so much notes from my last fight. I still have a lot to work on.
From watching your last fight.
I mean, you could see. I'm not going to show you, but like I wrote so much notes from just little things that I know I could fix. I have been out of the
game. This is from watching your fight.
I've been out of the game for a year and a half, and I noticed certain things that I had already was fixing, but then came back, and plus the crowd, like, I couldn't stop listening to the crowd. I was caring too much about.
Oh, you remember that. When you were fighting, you remember listening.
Yes. I listened to the crowd because I wanted them to be excited. I just came back, so I wanted to give the fans a great fight. But the dude was moving his
whole... So, like, as you're fighting, you're thinking this?
Yes. I'm like, dude. Yo, what I'm like, the fuck? Yeah, I'm like, motherfucker, get over here and fight a little bit. Come on. These fans are bored, bro. Because the dude just kept moving, which I don't knock his game plan. But throw punches at least. Because now you're just literally ducking and holding, ducking and holding. I could only... I can't fight for two people. Like, you can't have heart for two people.
Yeah.
I could only have heart for myself. Like, that's what I was thinking. I was like, motherfucker. But then I was like... If I just didn't care about the crowd at that moment, I could have, I knew what to do, lure him in, like, oh, okay, you could hit me.
Bang.
Then bang.
Yeah.
Then I catch him. But again, been out of the ring for a year and a half, and these are little things that I could fix. That's why my next fight, that's really what I feel like is my return. Honestly, I really feel like they called this fight the return, but this is like, now I'm fucking on, I'm on it. Like, I'm ready to... Fucking!
I'm excited, man.
Explode! I love and then it's gonna be in. Hopefully, it's gonna be in LA, and that's just gonna be sexy as hell. All my friends are gonna come out.
Yeah, I gotta.
You know, nobody could really come out to San Antonio.
Yeah,
but everybody would come out over here.
Everyone would come out over
here. All of you guys, I know. Like all my, like,
everyone would pull up.
Everyone would pull
up. I'm pulling up for sure. Your fights are always dope, bro.
It's not as I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm always gonna bring the speed. You're always gonna get speed and explosion. That's what you should expect. And that's fun. And you know me, I don't want to give you a bad fight. Like, yeah. But I
the
can't.
Fact that you're in there fighting someone, thinking about what the crowd's thinking is
because
crazy.
I knew the guy couldn't beat me. I'm in front of the ring and I'm like, I'm fighting him. I'm like, gosh, dude, he's number six in the world. He's number six in the world. And he hasn't lost a fight in 15 years. So this dude was 32-1, I believe. He only lost his pro debut. So it wasn't like he was bad. I was just way better than him. Like,
Who's your hardest fight? Because I'm curious. You got to have fights you're in there and you're like, yo, I have to be 100% here. Like, who's the guy you could look back on and say?
You know what? They're all going to be pretty difficult in their own right. Like, you got Kambosos. That's pretty fast and has pretty good technique. I know what he's lacking. But you got Devin Haney. Also very good. Rangy. Moves. But doesn't have much power. But that's fine. You know, some people just don't have power. You got Tank Davis, which does have power, but he's very short and just, I'm going to beat his ass. He knows it.
Yep.
You know it.
I love it.
And then, you got Lomachenko, very technical, but I feel he's too small. All of them have their thing where it's going to be tough. We all got our own strategies. It's all going to be a thinking game. It's all going to be at the moment how it is, you know. It's hard for me to say who's the toughest fight. I don't know.
Who was your toughest fight?
Oh, so far?
Yeah, let's say, if you can't say...
Luke Campbell.
Yeah. Hardest fight you've been.
Hardest fight, yeah. Technical-wise, he was great. He didn't make a lot of mistakes. You notice in the fight where he didn't reach a lot. Most people reach, and then you counter him.
Yeah.
He was very good at his distance, and he was tricky himself. He would fake me a little bit, and that's when he caught me over the top. So the dude was smart, you know, and I had to figure out that puzzle piece. During the fight where you see me start putting more pressure on him, I started catching him with little right hands, digging to the body. Yeah. Then I caught him on. Then he finally made a mistake because he was getting tired. He threw a jab and reached, and then I caught him over the top. That's when you seen him kind of wobble,
yeah.
And his back turned against the ropes. And then I broke him down and I caught him with that body shot because he was worried about that shot up there, which I would be worried too. That shit hurts. But I hit him with that great liver shot, you know. But that crumble is tough because that's a real fight. We're thinking everything, like it's all strategic. Like all these other fights I've had, I wasn't even really thinking. I just knew I was way better than them. Like I was, it was like
so
talent wise, I was too much, and I work hard. So too much talent, and I work hard, and then a guy that's not really like that, it's not gonna be able to beat me. You're not gonna be able to beat me unless you're. You're not going to be able to present a challenge unless you're a great fighter. That's just bottom line.
So when did you? So this is like this is you're at that level now.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't always like that, right?
No. I just started getting to this level.
So you think every fight you've ever had though, you learn a little bit.
100%.
You get better every fight.
100. You're never going to master the game. I don't think you're ever going to master the game, but I think you're going to get to the level where it's going to take another master like fighter to even fuck with you.
Yeah. All right, guys, quick interruption. Shout out to one of our sponsors, Exter. They make a lot of sleek, like sexy. Honestly, like the vibe on this is incredible. I'm not going to lie. This is amazing. This is the laptop case that I have right here. And the cool thing about this is that these products from Exter come with
like this like little tracking device, and like low key, you'll never lose your laptop. Also, when I think about this, you could slip this like, you know, somewhere else, and like maybe if you're like questioning, like, yo, what's my girl doing on Friday? Like she said she was going to Red Lobster, so I slipped one of these in her purse. Is this like it's kind of invasive? Can we do that? I don't know if we can do that. But you slip one in, and now it's tracked. He'd be like, yo, you weren't at Red Lobster. It's like, obviously, you're not gonna slip this in your girl's stuff. That's super invasive. Like, it's kind of, I think it's a breach of like privacy and like rules and shit like that. You can't do that. But this comes with all their products, so like you won't lose your cases, your wallets, like your cards, all your valuables, all the things that you actually need to keep safe. You can be like, okay, I know where they are. And it's just sexy. It's a nice design. You could put other things in here. Like, I don't know what other things you might be thinking about. I have like checks and shit in here. You can't put that on camera. Let's hide that. But yeah, it's beautiful. I love it. It's fucking, it's actually really, really nice. Like, despite the fact that they're a sponsor, like, it's actually just a nice product. So if you guys are interested in getting any of the products, go to shop.exter.com/Bradley Martin. I'm going to spell that out for you just because, like, you might be like, how do I spell that? But shop.ekster.com/Bradley Martin. Hopefully you know how to spell my name. It has a Y instead of an I at the end. So right now you got a 15% discount if you shop through that link. Go do it right now. Again, shop.exter.com/Bradley Martin. Yeah, let's get back into this podcast.
Yeah.
Who do you think the best boxer is in history? Ooh, I'm so curious.
That's a good
As a boxer,
that's a
right?
good one, man. That's a good one.
This is like super political question, huh?
Nah, it's not even political. It's just like,
it's just hard to pick.
It's so hard,
from
man.
Your perspective. Maybe based on more than just boxing, maybe what you like and style.
I mean, you gotta have Floyd up there.
It's not Jake Paul.
I love Jake, man. Yeah. Maybe one day. No. Yeah. You can't knock that guy down. He wants to win too. I mean, he's trying to figure it out, but it's gonna take him time to get good to the point where I would say that he's a top level fighter.
Would you ever fight him?
I wouldn't say no.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I wouldn't ever, but I wouldn't want to because I know him and it's like, I don't know. Like, it's just weird. Like, if the money was great.
The money would have to be insane.
And it would have to make sense. Like, why would I want to fight my friend Jake right now?
Yeah.
You know?
He's also a lot heavier.
Yeah, he's like 180 pounds.
Yeah.
Like, maybe when I get to 160.
Yeah. You think you could beat him right now?
I would say I can. I mean, I don't want to, I'm just going to tell my
truth.
No,
I get you.
You know, he's my guy. I would say I would be able to beat him.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm happy he's doing what he's doing. I'm very proud of him. I think for him to be on stage in front of all those people, never boxed really a day in his life other than now, to me, that's admirable. Good shit.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of that.
I can't lie.
For you to be able to do that, I'm a fan of that.
Yeah.
You know, and why would people talk shit about him? Like, shut up, man. You do that shit. You go fight Tyron Woodley.
Yeah, I mean,
and you tell me if you can fight in front of 10,000 people or however he had. Like, shut up. People try to nitpick. Oh, he's picking these opponents.
Yeah, that's I was going to say. I'm kind of one of those people, though. I love it.
I get your argument because it's like.
Because is he not picking smaller people than him every time?
Look it. Yes, he is. If we look at facts, if you want to look at facts, yes, they're out of. They're long past their career and they don't have the explosion they used to have.
Right.
He's picking the right fights.
He's
trying
to fight Bisping now.
Yeah. Like I said, he's trying to pick the right fights and he is. But think about it. All boxers starting up do the same thing.
This is what I was talking about earlier. Yeah.
So you can't knock him. But the reason why I give him so much credit is because these guys should have enough experience to be able to beat him.
For sure.
So he has something there, and that's not that you can't deny that.
Yeah.
He has a natural ability of boxing. But if he were to fight a guy, obviously his size, his experience level, that would be tougher than fighting a Tyron Woodley.
Yeah.
Same 3 years, whatever, however long he's been fighting, but a pro with 5 fights, yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
Because now it's like, okay, we're going to see really where he's at.
Right.
But I think it's perfect for him. He's building his career. he's making a ton of money. Fuck, like, do your shit.
Yeah.
Out.
Yeah, no, he's gone crazy. I mean, like, I mean, there's no denying that.
Yeah.
There's no denying that. And also, I think the popularity that he's brought to boxing.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
No. I wouldn't say he's brought any popularity.
Really?
Nah. If anything, boxing's bringing popularity to him.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. That's what I was saying.
Maybe to like.
Because he was.
I see what you're saying.
He was losing his steam a little bit. But boxing brought him really that health. It's just a healthy thing because people respect it.
Yeah.
Nobody respects him at all. They still kind of don't. But boxing really gives you that credibility. Like, damn, you really go in there and fight.
Because at some point it's undeniable. Like, it's just he is actually in there boxing.
Yeah. You could deny it all you want. He's fighting.
Yeah.
So, and he got punched in the face. He got cut. He's bleeding.
Yeah.
He's actually bleeding.
So what do you think his best fight would be?
His best fight?
Because, like, I think he wants, like, I mean, I well, my opinion when I look at it.
Tommy
I feel
Fury.
Like, that would be his hardest fight?
That actually would be the best fight, more competitive, take him to the next step. People will give him credit. Yeah, Tommy Fury's that guy. Not that guy, but the
for
guy
him.
For him.
Yeah.
Tommy Fury's not much of a boxer himself, but they're kind of the same. Kind of, like, have, like, a kind of celebrity type of thing outside
right.
and, like, they're boxing now. He has a little bit of experience. I think Jake has the more power. Tommy has the access to real boxing knowledge. But so does Jake. But, like, I don't know. He looks a little bit more of a challenge for Jake than, say, Bisping or anybody.
Yeah.
And it's perfect. He's a real fighter, you know?
Yeah. I think for what it looks like from the outside, it looks like he's trying to, like, get as many of these, like, not easy fights, but these fights that he can kind of, like, finagle that people be like, oh, it's a fighter, but almost, it's a fighter, but almost, and then fight someone that he won't even care if he loses,
yeah.
like McConnor,
maybe
because the bag is so big that
maybe.
It's like everyone's gonna be like, of course,
just
you lost
like
to
Logan
Connor.
And Floyd, right?
Yeah,
yeah, I get it.
Because if Logan lost to Floyd, or if Jake loses to Connor or someone else in that vein, you're gonna be like, well, of course.
That
it's never going to be like, oh, you suck, you lost.
That could be his play.
But, I mean, smart. Listen, I'm not knocking it. I just want to see him fight someone like his size. That's my only thing, the size. I want his size.
Yeah, because size does matter. Like, I'm not beating anybody at over 180 because of the size.
Yeah, like someone bigger and longer than you.
That's
like
a
heavier.
That's a good
fighter.
That's a fighter. Like, there's no possible. Like, there is a possible way because I probably would really look into it. Like, I would move around the ring probably majority of the time, win on points. Like, that would be my strategy
yeah.
against a big guy, but because that's your only play, you're not gonna,
right. You're not gonna go manhandle him.
Nah, you're not gonna manhandle him. But yeah, he should probably fight people his size. That would make sense.
Yeah. So are there any like social people fights that you beat with that you'd look forward to? Like any?
Like just a social media type of fight.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Man.
And what do you think about that whole thing in general? Because it's interesting now that you said
it's somewhat gimmicky, but somewhat kind of cool, exciting, because you're kind of seeing a street fight glorified.
Yeah. Because some people would say, like, I remember when it first started happening.
It's fun,
like,
to watch because they don't know what they're doing, and that makes it better because they're just fucking throwing.
Unexpected.
You just don't yeah. know what's going to happen. And then it's funny because these guys, like, some of them, like, they just take it as so serious. I like how Vinny Hacker played it, though. He's awesome. He was like, yo, he's just straight up. Yeah, I'm making a lot of money, whatever. And then
yeah.
he went in and did his shit. But, like, because some of these fighters, they swear like they know what they're doing. Like, just be honest. I'm fucking making a ton of money. Shut up. Like, I'm going to go in there and do whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah.
Like, just play it how it is. It's funny. But, yeah,
yeah,
I think it's cool, but just not too much of it. Like, just a balance.
Yeah, and definitely just a balance.
Like, I don't want to see.
So do you have fun, as much fun as you did in the beginning on social media, as you do now, or is it different?
It's way different because now I'm like a real business where, like, I have real endorsements
yeah.
that are watching me. So it's like way different now.
Is it more pressure?
It's pressure, but it's good. Like, I like it. I like where I'm at now. Like, I don't have to post that much. I don't have to do all that. Like,
yeah.
I just have to set up my fights. Just know what would be a good fight. Post when I want to post. You know, I know what, you know, will blow up. Like, I know my guarantees. Like, you know, if I post this type of video, it's
It'll
guaranteed
do well,
to
yeah.
do well. Like, I'm at a very good place. Like, I'm chilling. Yeah. I'm chilling, my, you know, I'm chilling. Yeah. I'm chilling.
What do you, so what do you think your professional career is going to end up at Wise? Like, what and what? Something to know, obviously.
I think,
like, how many fights do you have?
I think at the end, I'm probably going to be considered one of the greatest fighters in the last decade.
How many fights
you and have? A billionaire.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah,
I love
so a that. Billionaire plus one of the greatest fighters in the world plus just that handsome motherfucker.
Yeah, so, yo, you're fucking stupid. I love that. I love that. Bro, that was so funny. I love it. So, okay. What do you think your record's going to be? Like, are you talking like Mayweather type shit? 50?
No, this day and age, they don't get to like, well, we get to 50, you know, right? But, like, back in the day, they used to get to, like, 120 fights, 175. Crazy shit. I don't think I'm going to get there. I think tops in the 40 to 50 range, 55 range. Hopefully, I could beat Mayweather's record. That would be awesome. That'd be the
craziest shit ever.
Oh, if I do that, that just gave me another wanting. I'm motivated to do that now.
That would be insane.
If I could get 55-0 and I just rub it in Mayweather's face every time I see him, not in a mean way, but in a way like,
well, yeah, you should, but he does it. He rubs it in everyone's face.
Yeah, so
should.
maybe I'll do it just to do that to him.
Yeah, because there's no one else in the world who can do that to him.
No, actually, nobody can. So if I could beat a lot of champions, go 55-0, it's not going to be easy.
It's
never
fun.
Easy. But if I do things right, I probably could do it.
That would be the coolest shit.
And I will really rub it in his face probably every chance I get.
I mean, why wouldn't
you? I would even just wear a shirt that just always imprinted 55-0.
Yeah. Get a tattoo right here.
Yeah.
Face tap. No? Don't want to fuck the face up?
Nah. Nope. Yeah, got to protect the face.
Put it somewhere here maybe.
Yeah, maybe somewhere. Just like a little 55-0 maybe on my fist just to show him.
Yeah.
Like,
every time.
I just do this then?
You know what time it is?
Oh, you don't have that on your clock.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So do you, because like you said, it's not easy. Boxing is not easy. No. Fighting is not easy.
Yeah, I'm saying is not going to be easy.
Do you ever stress about the damage, like the physical damage?
Oh, sometimes. CT? Sometimes. Because I think to myself, like, damn, I want to have my wits later on. Like, I want to enjoy this. That's why I'm enjoying everything now.
Yeah.
I'm having a great time.
Yeah.
Because you never know. Maybe I could, there's a possibility I could end up a little bit of brain damage or I'm just not there. But that's fine because I'm doing what I love and I'm enjoying my family now and I'm living life now. So right now I have my wits.
I love it.
Later on, I might not. But guess what? I'm still going to heaven.
I love it.
And I'm going to have my wits then. So it's fine.
Yeah. You know? I love that. I love that mentality about you, though, man. Like you just seem to have that, like, you just, no matter what,
right,
feel, you know, like, I'm gonna do this no matter what.
Don't trust your feelings, trust the truth, you know. Yeah. That's what I always tell people, like, yeah, I'm just gonna play my hand. Like I said, if I lose my wits, what am I supposed to do? Like, I'm just gonna have to accept that I can't speak that well.
Yeah,
I already can't speak that
well. No, you're good.
No, I'm
have,
good.
Have you ever had any moments like where you felt like you were uncertain about where you were going?
Mm-hmm. That time I was going through that mental health issue last year, I didn't know where I was going. And I was confused because usually I do, but I couldn't get out of this maze that was created. It felt like I was in a maze.
What was it, though? Was it the thought of, like, not being good enough? Like, what was the thing that was?
It was the thought of, I self-sabotaged my own head, overthinking every single thing where if I forgot something, I automatically assumed that I had some type of dementia, right?
Oh.
Or if I wasn't on point about something, I was so down on myself. Or it was just so much, like, just so much torture. I really felt like I was, one, spiritually tortured, but also mentally just, I was like, what the fuck? Like, physically and spiritually and everything, I felt tortured. Like, every time I tried to work out, I extremely got sore. And I was like, but it was all in my head. It was just like, I wasn't looking at the truth. It was all feeling based. It was so weird. I couldn't get out of that for a long time. And I was like, fuck this.
So, man, what got you out of it? Because I could understand this. What got you out of this? Like, what got you to get past the mental?
Honestly, I don't have a direct answer for that. I just know I took steps, right? I took the right steps or the perceived right steps. I went to therapy. I went to a professional therapist, right? And I talked to her about this. I was like, yeah, I think I have dementia. Or like if any question I thought I had, right, or any fear, I would try to come at it like, I think I have this. She's like, no, you're perfectly fine.
Yeah.
She's like, no. And then she would remind me. And then, but then I would do something and I would again go into this loop. It was like I kept on being in loops that I couldn't get out of. It was like a running circles in my own mind. And I was fucking tortured. And I was like, no medicine would stop me. If I took Xanax, which they prescribed me, didn't work at all. And I was
even
like,
even when you took it,
didn't work at all. I was still fucking. That's why I feel like it was spiritual too, because no medicine was working.
With your mental health, like, was it like anxiety? Was it depression? Like, was it a combination of things, or like abusive habits or anything like that? Like, what do you think it like was primarily? Was this just your anxiety?
Well, hold on.
Yeah, it was anxiety and depression are like best friends. They come together, and once the anxiety levels couldn't be controlled, I got depressed. I couldn't control it, so I couldn't do what I love.
Because the anxiety is the bouncing of those things. You're like, I can't control this.
The
thought.
Fear is taking over you.
And the repeat,
because it knows it can fuck with you, right? Yeah. It has a grip on you. Like every time it mentions this thought, it knows it invokes. I'm not saying it, but anxiety. It keeps attacking you until you fucking face it.
Yeah.
It's like, ha, I know I could get you here. Ha. It's fucking scaring you. Ha. And then it's like you're getting depressed because you can't get out of it. Like I look to the left, I can't get out of it. I look to the right, couldn't get out of it. I go anywhere, I can't get out of it. So that right there had such a strong hold on me. I got super depressed and I was in my car and I was like, I don't know how many notes I wrote, but I wrote so many notes claiming to my mom, like I'm my dad, I'm dead, like I'm gonna die, like I'm just gonna, I don't see no hope, I can't do what I love, I'm sorry, but I don't know if I want to live, you know. It's kind of emotional, but that was a bad part, and it's sad because I'm one of the strongest people. That's why, like, I preach so much about just fucking driving forward, and it's like at that point I was just so weak. But it's fine.
I've been there.
I found a way. Like, I found a way. I'm good now. I'm great.
Yeah.
Life is so good. But I had, and then the hardest part, I think, is like people just didn't believe me. Like, they didn't think that it was like real.
I think because people expect,
because
you to be
I
tough.
Tried my best to be the person I usually am. Like, I would watch fights and I would, like, yeah, I would talk shit because, like I missed it and I missed being in the loop, but I couldn't still get myself together. So it was so hard for me to sit back and watch everything pass by because I'm fucking hungry for this shit. Yeah. And it felt like it wasn't my fault, you know, and I just felt so judged. And like, usually people get so much support when they come out like that, but I get it.
I think it's because you're a fighter, the perception that you should be tough and strong. And
Maybe. But hey, I found a way. I'm here now. You know, that's all that matters. I'm here now.
I just want to know, what was the switch? Like, what got you back? Obviously, you took the steps. You went to therapy. You did the things that you
needed.
It's
funny. I don't want to give credit to poker, but poker.
Fuck. Yo, that's hilarious.
Like, I don't want to.
Fuck.
I don't want to give credit to poker, but like, fuck, man. I was in Vegas fucking playing poker, and it really just got my mind just out of thinking what I was thinking of. Like, I was just like enjoying sitting down and figuring the hand out and getting better. And it was just that little thing.
You know what it sounded like? You just needed something outside of what you did.
Right.
Because guaranteed the rest of your life prior to this, everything that probably made you and brought you happiness was boxing.
Mm-hmm.
And then like now you added social media and it was relationship to it. Because I can relate directly to this, like lifting my entire life, and then it became my business. And then it was still the thing that kept me happy.
Yeah.
And I actually had a really crazy, like, negative point in my life right when I opened my gym, in relationship to everything, in relationship to social media, to working out, to everything. I felt like I was just getting by. Mm-hmm. And I genuinely, the same thought where you're like, you know, am I going to be alive? Am I okay? Like, I kept repeating these like moments, and it's so crazy. And it obviously completely different industries, you and I, but I think it does come down to the fact that you saying poker being that thing was just completely separate of kind of what pushed you along your whole life. And you just had something to kind of like take your mind off of this.
Yeah.
Because your whole life, I mean, even from the moment that I met you, it was just every time it's like boxing, social media, boxing,
career, like you just boxing, everything.
100%. So I think doing something outside of it, just separating yourself and allowing you to like
something outside of it that I enjoyed. Cause a lot of people, they're like, oh yeah, try something outside of boxing. Like, they're like, try this. This is going to work.
Like what?
No, that works for you. It would be like maybe try to fucking, I don't know, ride jet skis. I'm not saying I don't
swim
know.
Or some
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, swim or, you know, but it wasn't
fit. I wonder what about poker did you? I mean, it's fun.
I don't know what it is. It's just chess. To me, it's chess. Like, I love playing tournaments. I don't like playing cash game because, fuck, dude, it's just, I can't play with people that don't know how to play because it's like, you can't gauge what they're doing. But tournament, I like it because it's like strategy. It's fun, but then there's also the luck factor, so you got to get over it. But to me, I just love the game. Like, I love the game. I love being around the boys, laughing it off, you know, talking. Like, you have so much great conversations at the poker table.
Yeah.
And the people are just so either – there's so many you meet so many different type of personalities on the poker table too. And it's crazy. It just – I love it. And it's just like a man's game.
Yeah,
you know, amazing. Like, you're playing poker. Like, that's sick. No, girls are good at poker too. Don't get me wrong. You know, I've played some players that was like, oh, shit.
But it's like – it's that vibe that you needed.
It's the vibe. It's what it is. Yeah. It's the vibe. It's just – I don't know. At that time, it just –
So poker was your switch?
Pretty much.
And then you're like, wait a minute.
But no, but it was crazy because through that, right, that's where I felt God came in and showed me what my purpose was. Because there would be moments, right, when I'm playing that people would come up to me like, oh, I got to talk to you. Like some rant. I'll be in Commerce Casino. I remember this still. I was in Commerce Casino playing poker. And this dude comes up to me. He's like, do you know who you are? I'm like, what? Yes, I know who I am. Yes. And he's like, no, do you know what God blessed you with? And I was like, yes. And then he goes, what are you doing? And I was like, just playing poker. And then he was like, no, I'm telling you serious. Like, look. And then he was breaking it down to me and like showing me what I'm so blessed with and that I have so much opportunity. I was like, yeah, you're right. Like, what the hell am I doing? And then like little things like that, like little moment, but like it touched me. It's different. Like, it's different when you're there. Like, it's just you feel the moment. And through that, God just came and like really told me, not told me, but like, it just came to a realization that like this is meant, like this is I'm maturing. This is all part of the process of growing my character. Like I had to go through it, you know. I had to see things how they had to be seen, and now I'm so much stronger and like it's amazing.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
You see, I mean, bro, since I've last seen you, it seemed like you've mentally matured so much.
100%.
Do you read books? Like, what do you do to like try to stay sharp outside of the ring?
Poker.
Oh my God, I love it.
Poker.
Okay, how much money have you won playing poker? How much money have you lost playing poker?
I've lost way more than I've ever won, and of course, I'm never gonna get it back.
Yeah, it's gone.
Yeah, like, dude, I don't know. It's probably evened out. Like,
what's the most you've lost in one game?
Are you talking like poker? Not as much as I have just gambling, like baccarat and all that.
Oh
shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't even want to say the number.
Yeah,
but it's not that bad.
I lost 20K once, and it was terrible. I did it for a video, and
I
regretted it.
Yeah, I wish I only lost
20K. Yeah. Oh, shit.
I wish I only lost 20. I'm not going to give the number out. But if you see my wins, too, it's not even. Obviously, the loss is a little bit more, but that's just probably – that's just what it's
gonna You just be. Like the game, then.
I just like the game.
Yeah.
But I am trying to get good. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, if you get me on the poker table, you don't have a scrub here. You know, I want these guys to, you know, respect my game.
Has poker taught you anything, like, about boxing or about life?
I see how people, no, yes, it's taught me to not trust your feelings and trust the truth. That's what I mean. Okay. Because you're like, oh my gosh, I have a good feeling about this hand.
Yeah.
I'm going to win. Yeah. And you fucking don't
then
win.
You get fucking
then
smoked.
Then you get fucking smoked.
Yeah.
And then you say, oh, I have a bad feeling about this hand. But you play it right, and then you win with it. You're like, so it's taught me, don't trust your feelings, trust the truth. Look at the situation. Don't look at the fucking, all that shit. Feelings just lead to answers. That's all it is. I have a good feeling. Well, where's it going? What's the truth?
Yeah.
It's just leading you to the truth. Why do I have a bad feeling? Don't judge a person because you have a bad feeling about them. See how they are.
Figure it out.
Boom. Maybe that feeling was telling the truth, but you don't know that yet. You know, you can't just trust it completely.
Yeah.
You have to wait and then see.
Some true fucking insight. I love that.
Philosophy 101.
Yeah, you crushed that. That's incredible.
Come on now.
Okay, so, all right, guys. Quick interruption. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a mobile therapy platform where you don't have to go and like talk to someone in person. I've been to therapy tons of times. It's like fucking changed my life drastically. It always helps to have someone to talk to that is like unbiased of your actual like situation that's going on. And now this is a simple way for you to get engaged with a therapist on your own time. At your own accord, so you don't feel like you have to like show up somewhere every day at like fucking 4 p.m. or twice a week at 4 p.m., whatever it is, and you got traffic. It's through the phone. It's through Zoom calls. Enjoying over 2 million people who have used this platform successfully. All right, I invite you guys to check it out. Go to betterhelp.com/rawtalk. You guys get a 10% off your first month with the link right there. Again, that's betterhelp.com/rawtalk. And yeah, let's get back into this podcast.
Well, what do you think about, you saw the Mike Tyson fight the guy on the plane?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, I think that somebody should have helped out Mike. You know, Mike's an icon. He's one of the greatest public figures for a boxer ever, and he's just great. Yeah. Where's his people? Some dude's annoying the shit out of you. Like, somebody could tell him to chill, like, relax. Like, Mike shouldn't have punched him.
Yeah.
Like, fuck. But some people do deserve that. But, like, when you're Mike Tyson, just don't punch nobody. They're coming for the check.
For sure.
So I think it could have been controlled better by everybody, but somebody in his team should have checked that guy, because I know my guy, James, somebody's annoying the shit out of me, and I'm very nice, but you start annoying me to that point, some of my people are going to be like, yo,
what the fuck are you doing?
Like, can you fucking go somewhere? Yeah. Like, that's what I thought should have happened. But
it is still crazy, though, how people just, I don't know, they get so, maybe they feel entitled to a person, or like they have some sort of perspective that they can just do whatever the fuck they want.
They lose the sense of reality.
Yeah.
It's like, no, the reality is Mike Tyson is a regular person sitting in his seat.
Yeah.
And you're counting. Like, I can't go up to a random person like, hey, how you doing? Hey. Like,
yeah.
There's just no way I'm doing
it. It's just weird how I don't get it. Like, I understand it. It must come with the
admiration.
The celebrity in it. And the admiration of someone that you know, or you've seen, or you've heard. But it's like, it's still just a fucking human. Like you were saying earlier, like the expectations of you being a certain way for everyone is like, you know, at the end of the day, you're still a human. You still eat, you shit, you piss. This is all the same shit.
Yeah. I've seen people admire me crazy. Like they freak out, right? Grown men. But I've never had somebody heckle me that way that that guy did to Mike. That would annoy me. Like,
yeah.
That would annoy me.
Yeah, I think I would have swung on him too.
I might have.
I might have.
Like,
fuck.
What do you think about the Will Smith thing?
Oh,
I know,
man.
It's old and news. Like, I don't want to bring it up.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
But I'm hella curious. I'll tell you my thing, but go.
A part of me, when I saw the Will Smith thing, like, my initial reaction was like, that's fake. Because, like, because the whole thing was, you know, was the Oscars.
Yeah.
Right? It's like boring. No one gives a fuck about it. So maybe they're like, trying to think of a way to spice it up, and I look like Will Smith is like the most popular person like on social media from that industry, so I'm like, maybe they're just trying to like,
do you still think it's fake though? I don't.
No, now I know it's not fake because I asked some people who are like in the situation a little bit deeper, and I know it's not fake, and I actually know that it had been something that had been kind of festering for some time between those two specifically. So I know it's not fake. Now, knowing that it's not fake.
Yeah, now what do you think?
It's interesting because
this is a challenging thing to think about.
The reason why I like it is because
it brings light, right?
Yeah, maybe it makes people realize, oh, wait, maybe you just can't say whatever the fuck you want at any point. Because that's the thing with the internet. Like, people got to this point where, like, people feel entitled to just say whatever the fuck they want about it.
Disrespect anybody.
Yeah, because you're behind a screen.
Here's the thing. Now, I thought the exact same way, and I even wrote it on my Twitter, but then I ended up deleting it because I said something similar to that. But then I thought to myself, but that does not give you the right to slap the shit. No, but what I'm saying is this, like, Will Smith, right? He obviously, man, he probably hears a lot of shit his whole life. Like, oh, like just little shit. And obviously he's been through a lot of things with.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of shit there.
That's why it's such a complicated thing.
Well, that's why I got to that point.
But yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
But I really admire Chris Rock for the way he handles himself. Like, that would take every ounce in my body not to come back. And I don't care if I will get my ass beat. Slap me in my face.
Yeah.
Whether I'm at the Oscars or right here, right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to look at you and be like, you're going to get fucked up right now.
Yeah.
I don't care why, what, you know, and if you really break it down, his joke wasn't that bad. I'm feeling for her. Like, I'm sorry that you're going through. Right. But nobody knew. I had no clue. And he said he didn't have a clue.
Yeah.
But I really think Will Smith was still in that protective role of King Richard.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. If you've seen King Richard, you know what I'm talking about. King Richard was
came from the movie.
Was a fierce protector of his fan. He even mentions it in the after the in his winning speech, what they allowed happen, which was crazy. So he slaps Chris Rock, then they allow him to get the reward, and then gives the most dramatic speech ever.
Yeah.
Then says, "At your highest point, that's when the devil go get you." Like, it was just crazy. But is kind of not true. Like, can't say the devil's gonna get you only at your high points. He's gonna try to get you at your low points.
At all points.
Yeah, at all points. Yeah. Any right situation to try to get you, that's pretty much when the devil attacks. But anyways, forget that. What I'm saying is, I think he was still in that King Richard role. Yeah. I swear, bro. Bro was crying and was like, "I'm a fierce protector of my family."
Yeah.
Like, bro.
I just don't get why later on, like, they banned him from the Oscars, but they let him do all that stuff.
That's what was weird, too.
It's like, why later on?
Well, because they were like, they probably didn't want to, they didn't know how to handle it. They're like, Will Smith is such a big actor. Like, this is just a weird situation. Like, maybe they just couldn't make a good decision at that time.
Yeah.
That's all I could think of.
Yeah.
But, man, that shit was. That was crazy, man. You know, I knew it was big because the next day, Starbucks, that's all everybody talked about.
Well,
random strangers came up to me and asked me, bro, what did you think about
pie. Bro,
what do you think of Will Smith slapping?
It was also just
how
like,
are you doing? Good morning.
It was also like everything for the next like 3 days was literally that.
It was crazy. That's how you know it had a big effect on everyone. And opinions are still being talked about, obviously.
But it's also too, like, people are in love with violence.
Oh, that's why boxing, man.
Right.
They just love violence.
That's what it is. I mean, it's like,
we're blood driven. It's weird.
It's like it should never happen at that event, but it did, and it's violence, and everyone, it's like, you can't stop talking about it, can't stop thinking about it.
No. As humans, we know not to do it, but we also have that instinct of fight.
Yeah.
Fight or flight. You're either going to run away, you're going to fight. And then people like to see that in front of them. They like to see if they could be mastered, that instinct of, you know what I mean? People like that. They're bloodthirsty. It goes back to the gladiator days.
Of course.
People watch people kill people. You obviously can't do that now.
Like, to death.
But we're doing everything pretty much there. Yeah. We squeezed every ounce of
to that.
We can't kill each other, but you legally could kill somebody in the ring, but you're not going to have a sword this time. You're just going to have gloves.
Right. So I have a question in that vein. Like, when it comes to the fight or flight response and like the natural human like reaction to that, you being a fighter, you have to train yourself to not have those like reactions, like, so that you can be calm in a ring, because a normal human, they're going to get in a fight and have like 30 seconds of some explosive strength and probably get either win or lose.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, but a boxing match is fucking rounds and rounds in time.
I mean,
so what are you doing to like not have that? Like, what are you doing to maintain calmness, I guess, in a sense?
That's something within you. You know, you got to figure that out for yourself. Like, I know how to be calm in the ring. And, yeah, you could try to practice it, but it's really experience, fighting constantly. You know, it starts when you're young, you know, here's the thing, though. I never had, like, I was never an emotional fighter. I'm never emotional when it comes to fighting. I'm just fighting and, you know, people always would get mad, and I'm just fighting still. Like, even as a kid, like, I never got mad easily. So for me, it's very easy for to control that. Like, the only thing I have to control is when I hurt somebody, because then that's when I get like,
I get bloodthirsty
big time. Like, even in sparring.
So you have to control that, so you don't go too hard, and then if you could fuck up, right?
You could possibly fuck up, but I have also a good like. If I know the guy's going to throw a punch, like, I have a good reaction. So I just know that it's smarter. The smarter choice is for me to relax when I not hurt somebody. But my thing is I want to destroy the guy right away. Like, that's your perfect opportunity. He's hurt. This is the time to really
kill him.
Yeah. Sorry, not kill, but knock him out.
Of course.
Exactly. And but that's the thing, though. If you misread it, like, you could get caught.
Yeah.
You could run into some shit. Like, Anthony Joshua, he hurt Andy Ruiz. He didn't. He thought he was actually hurt, but he's not.
Yep.
And then gets caught with a hook, and there it goes. There's history. You know? So you got to be calm. You got to be calm. Calm in the chaos.
How do you train that? Like,
once you start, you have to be aware first. Then start making your adjustments. And maybe it's a breathing technique. Maybe it's just reminding yourself that, you know, this is a long fight. Or I don't know. Whatever. However you want to find peace within yourself, that's how you do it. There's no blueprint. It's like calm in the chaos. You know, just see it how it is. You know, he's hurt right now. Okay, boom, boom, boom. Like, I'm always, I talk to myself in the ring sometimes. And I'm fighting. Like, obviously, you can't think too much.
Right.
But sometimes I'll say, okay, his hand's dropping here. You know, I'll have like little thoughts like that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll start putting the pressure right now. You know, I'll do that when I'm fighting. But nothing.
It's so crazy.
Nothing more than that. And that keeps me calm because I feel like I have a friend. You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's weird. Like, it's me. But who's really that guy talk?
Dude, that's so crazy, man. I'm so excited to see where your like career takes you like in the future.
Me too.
Because like I said, like when I first met
billionaire.
You, like,
you're gonna, that's all I think.
I believe in you.
I really do believe that's gonna
happen.
And then
when I met you in 18, same thing, man. Like you have that like this is what I'm gonna do mentality.
Yeah.
And you don't really wander from that. Even though obviously you have experience like that straight.
Yeah, it's not gonna be easy. Like it's never easy. But yeah, everybody, when you're trying to do something great, it's gonna be some shit, man.
Yeah.
It's gonna be some shit you gotta go through. That's just what it is. Somebody got to do it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go do it.
I love it, man. I love it. Well, I appreciate your time.
Yep.
We gotta answer some questions.
Okay.
So at the end of every episode, you guys can basically, if you guys want your questions answered by me and the guests, you go to askrawtalk@gmail.com, and then she should have a few questions ready, queued up.
Okay.
And then we'll just answer them whatever, however you see fit.
Awesome.
Do you have any there?
Yes, I do.
Okay, dope.
So it says, hey, Bradley and guest, I lost my best friend to suicide a few years back, and the only way I could cope with it is drugs. I was just wondering, what are some ways to cope with it better instead of doing drugs? People say time heals, but that's just not the case. And then that's what they want advice for.
Okay, so I'm going to start off by saying time is the heal. I know you're not feeling that right now because it might be too close to like your actual time and you're trying to heal. It feels like you can't. My best advice outside of this is occupy your mind as much as possible with things that you actually do really enjoy, because you're not going to change your circumstance. Like, you can't bring someone back to life. Like, I know this directly. I've dealt with this my whole life. But the thing you do have control over and the thing you do have power in is the choices that you make and the actions that you do moving forward that can lead you to a brighter place, right? Instead of you being like, fuck, this happened to me. Fuck, this happened to my friend. Fuck, this is my life. This is what's going on. This is where I'm at. Because you can get caught up in those thoughts. Like, you were even talking earlier about, like, in that anxiety and that bouncing back and forth of these ideas or these emotions that kind of, like, tear you the fuck down. That's so normal, and it's okay to have that. But the minute you can go, like what he even talked about, Ryan even talked about finding poker outside and, like, doing this. And, like, it sounds like a crazy thing, but I'm saying just find something outside of, like, that constant monologue, inner monologue within yourself of the fear or the sadness, the emotion, the trauma, and just change your circumstances. That's all you can do, and constantly try, because it's going to pull you back.
Yeah.
And then try to go, okay, let me try and get back here again, and however long you could do it, and then it's going to pull you back, and you just keep trying to reset yourself.
I also got something to say, like, when you're doing drugs, doesn't let you feel the necessary things you have to feel. Hurting is part of the process. It's sad. It's hard. But that's the only way you're going to heal. You're just numbing the pain. And I'm so sorry for your loss. But in order to cope with it better, you're going to have to try to lay off the drugs.
And you need to feel it.
You need to feel it. And, and hurt is part of the process of healing. And it's just something you need to feel. And I'm sorry for your loss for your friend.
Yeah.
It's sad.
No, that's great advice. I'm going to reiterate the same thing. Yeah. You have to
just
go
had
through
deja
it.
Vu.
You have to feel it. Yeah, it's good. It's a good, you're in the right spot.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I said to myself. That's exactly what it means.
Yeah, I said I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be right now.
Hell yeah.
Love it's it. Like, I've already been here. Like, you already said that before. That's so weird.
Fucking dope.
So strange.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's another one. It says, how do you deal with patience, like where you want to go and the places you want to be in life? How do you deal with it? Because it's definitely a journey. Moods, actions change daily. change on the daily. So how do you stay focused?
I didn't get that question.
So I think what the person is trying to say is like, how do you stay focused on like your goal, even though like you're dealing with this or dealing with that?
Outside things.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, well, I answer that.
Yeah, go for it.
The way I stay focused is looking at my routine and knowing what things that my priorities are, what I have to do. And then the outside things can't waver that. So I make sure I prioritize what I have to do. And no matter what is happening outside, you know, I remove, you know, yes, you have your feelings involved and people, you know, and it gets complicated. Like, that's hard part. Life is just hard. But if you really want to be focused on something, you got to know that there's just challenges all over the place. But that's just comes with the territory. You're after something. So make sure you get that thing done. And then if you have time to handle those little nuances, I don't even know if that's the right word, but nuances or challenges, then you deal with that. But make sure it's prioritized. Like, if this is what you want to do, then it's not going to be easy. Just prioritize it and then deal with that stuff later. That's what I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll add on to that. I think the thing that's really important also, what's Ryan to in relationship to what Ryan is saying, is that you need to be able to like draw a real purpose to the thing that you're saying, okay, this is the thing that I love and this is the thing that I want to do. And if you could draw like the true purpose, which is why we talked earlier about you, so much success that you've had in your life is like, because you felt this purpose of being one of the greatest, right? And you're so driven to that. But so every time you start to falter and wander away from that, you're able to pull yourself back in and be like, I want to be the best. And that's your purpose in this sense, right? So the person listening, you have to figure out the purpose of the thing that you're trying to accomplish beyond just trying to accomplish. Like, if you're like, I want to make a bunch of money, like, why do you want to make money? And I'm not saying that's not a good goal. I'm just saying, define why having that money or having that thing or whatever it is, why that means something to you.
He's so true about that.
Right? Yeah. So once you do that.
Don't be so much money driven. Be purpose driven. Be God driven. Whatever driven. But like, don't let that be your main, right, sense of.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's important. Trust me, I'm trying to get the money too.
Of course.
But like.
Yeah, we're all trying to make the bag.
But it all got to make sense. You can't just say like, yo, I want to make $1 million. I'm going to go do sell drugs, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't. It has to be part of your purpose. Like you were saying, I like that. You know, it has to be a part of it.
So if you figure that out, then it's much easier to pull yourself back on track when you feel yourself wandering.
That's fact.
So, all right, guys, quick interruption. We got another sponsor, Blue Chew. That's right. Blue Chew has sponsored the podcast today. If you guys haven't tried this before, I encourage you to try it. I mean, not every single one of you might need it, but if you need a little extra help in the bedroom, it's incredible. I don't even know how to say this, otherwise it just makes your dick harder, bigger. Like, I mean, it's what we all want, right? So fucking run it. So if you could benefit from some extra confidence when it's time to perform, Blue Chew can help. If you guys want to check it out, you guys can get for free. All you got to do is pay $5 shipping. Use promo code RAWTALK at the checkout. Again, promo code RAWTALK will get you free Blue Chew. Literally just pay $5 shipping. You could try it out and see if you like it. And if you like it, then come back and, you know, hard dicks for everyone. You get one, and we all get one. It's amazing. Enjoy yourself. Next one.
That's facts.
This is a good podcast. You crushed this.
This is great conversation.
Damn, bro. Hey,
great conversation. Hey, great vibes.
I love
just
it.
Just straight true shit.
Yeah, I love it.
No smoke and mirrors.
No
just,
bullshit.
Just right there.
What you got?
It's gonna be. Hey, I'm sharing this one. I don't share. Sometimes I don't share the podcast I'm on.
Yeah,
I'm sharing this.
One. Yeah.
When was the last time you guys tried something new? And who is someone you often compare yourself to?
And who what?
Who is someone you often compare yourself to?
Oh, I don't care shit. I don't compare myself to anyone.
I could say I'm inspired, right, by people, but yeah, I would say like who I want to be. I don't want to be.
And anyone. What was the first part?
So the first part was like, when was the last time you guys tried something new?
Something
and who
new.
Was someone you often compared yourself
okay.
to?
Something new. First time or last time I tried something new, like.
In
it's
life,
so
in anything.
Life, it's so hard for me to do this because I just do the same shit. Like I train, I eat good. I
like you like where you're at.
I love it. I love it all.
Okay, you're but loving. Like, what is a habit that you guys developed new? Which I think you guys could both relate to.
Okay.
What is a new habit you guys developed to change the cycle that you guys have?
Okay,
you guys kind of touched on it, but like more.
Detail. Okay, so something that I've gotten better at, it just overall in general in my life, and something. But I've been working on this for some time is meditating, like straight up just. sitting with my thoughts, no matter what they are, no matter how they come, and just letting them come and letting them go and being calm with it.
If they come, let them come. If they go, let it go.
Yeah.
There it is.
That's it.
I like that.
So that's something that I learned. That's something that I got better at. Something that I practice now. As far as comparing myself, nothing. You haven't got into it?
I've tried. I'm shooting a Snapchat series called The Fight Inside, and I tried everything. Like, I went to, I've did it with a bunch of people. I don't know if they brought that to you. Maybe. I don't remember. But I had to try meditating, sound baths. I mean, I was underwater for like 3 minutes straight. Like, wait,
you held your breath for 3 minutes?
Just wait till it comes out. It's pretty crazy.
Fuck? No, that's actually really impressive.
They taught me how to do it.
Okay.
Know? There's this like Navy type of stuff.
Okay.
I mean? But yeah, I haven't gotten into meditating. But the question was something obviously poker.
Yeah.
But it's like not so much new, but it was really a habit. It turned into a habit. Which just really got my mind out of just. It's kind of like meditating, right? Like, yeah. You get away from everything. It's just a game.
Yeah.
And it just really helped me clear my mind on a lot of things. And yeah, like, it taught me that lesson, like we were talking about. So that's something I kind of.
Do you compare yourself to anyone?
Oh, that was the other part. Yeah. Do I compare myself to anyone? I see a lot of parallels to people.
Yeah.
Like, I find inspiration in Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah,
I find a lot of inspiration in Muhammad Ali because of for the people, how he stands for the people. I see a lot of myself with Manny Pacquiao, the speed, the power.
Yeah. Legends.
You know?
Goddamn.
Kobe Bryant, mentality-wise, like, that's how I think a lot when I'm working. Like, I'm always looking for the edge. I'm, like, obsessed about it. Like, I do things because I know people aren't doing it. Like, I know they ain't going to do this, so... this is why I'm going to do it, you know?
Yeah.
I just have that competitive mind. Like, I want to destroy you in every way possible in this competition.
Yeah.
So that's why I relate to all those people, but I wouldn't say I want to be that person.
Right, right.
I take a lot of their good attributes and I say, man, I want to add that to myself because that's very good.
Inspirational-wise.
Very inspirational.
Yeah. Makes sense. You got any other ones?
I mean, there was one they added where it says, what's your stance on the existence of aliens? And what's a common conspiracy theory you could think
aliens?
To be legit?
They're real. I just want to say this shit. They got to be real. They have to be real.
I have my own thing. Like,
there's no way like the universe is this big.
I don't know how to word it.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I'm worried about wording it. But whoever's watching... I'm just kidding.
But you can say whatever.
No, okay. I'm going to say whatever. Like, I see it more. Look, obviously, I'm a Christian. Like, that's what I am. Like, that's what I stand on. And I read the Bible a lot. And to me, it's just an illusion. To me, it's like, it feels like it's almost a demonic illusion.
Aliens.
Yeah.
Really?
I'm going to call it how I think
it is. Damn.
It's a demonic. Of course, they want you to believe in aliens and other things that are not really factual. You know, maybe it's just whispers and things just to make you distracted with the bigger picture and things. You know, I try to look. All right, let's look at the truth. There ain't no been an alien in front of me, and there really hasn't ever been an actual proof. Why? What is it really trying to? What are they trying? What picture are they painting?
But you don't think that, regardless of religion, aliens could still exist, and even in relationship to it. I mean,
oh yeah,
it could be like
look
just.
If we're looking at it like, you know, in a scientific way, there's millions of galaxies in the world.
That's what I'm talking
about. Millions of planets and millions of things. And
it's like infinite almost.
Yeah, it's infinite. So would it be...
There's no way we're the only thing. That's all I'm saying.
I feel like
there's no way, dude.
Is it the drugs?
I'm not saying okay, I know but exactly
we,
what it is.
But we can't say 100% that there is anything. What if there's just another Earth? Of people, of humans like us.
But that's what I mean. So that's so...
That are going through the exact same thing.
So that's what we're talking about. That's what we're saying.
Aliens?
But that's what an alien is. So
are you talking about the gray-headed guy?
No. I'm just talking about...
The big eye, the walnut eye.
No.
What are y'all...
Aliens, I'm talking about just something else. Okay. It doesn't have to be... It could be a whole other set of humans.
A species that we don't know of. That's it.
I mean, it could be humans somewhere else.
That's to me, that's not aliens then, though.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying something that's not on Earth, that is life somewhere else.
It's a possibility, yes.
Yeah, it has to be.
Big possibility, big chance.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying they're like fucking little green creatures. And
Unless I see fucking Paul the alien, you know that movie? Yeah. If I see that motherfucker in front of me, then I'll be like, yeah, there's an alien.
Oh my God. There's definitely fucking.
Is there any conspiracy theories that you guys follow? Because that was the second part of that question.
Ooh. Conspiracy theories?
I don't follow anymore. I don't really try to because it's just all like, I don't know.
Distraction.
It's just a distraction. It's just all a thing. I don't know. What do you think? I mean, there's a lot of conspiracies with everything, and I don't. It's just no.
We could talk about
government
shit. No, because a bunch of shit.
No, because I really dive in. Like I go in. I try to look at everything. So no.
Yeah.
No. Skip.
We're gonna stop it there.
Skip. I'm gonna sound like a crazy guy. Skip.
Yeah, that's it. Subscribe to the fucking channel. Drop a like, drop a comment if you enjoyed it. If you're on YouTube, you can go to iTunes. You could add it, plus a little button, add a review on iTunes. Maybe on Spotify soon. I love you guys. I'm out of here. Thank you for coming, man. Always a pleasure. And like, bro, you are fucking, you're destined, man.
Thank you, brother. You're gonna do it.
And you're awesome. You're already doing amazing things.
I love you, and we're gonna do this body shot challenge right now.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm with it. Let's go.